Can we
At
make sure we're on the stream?
8:34.
Today's date time, it is nine, it is, excuse me, it is 8:34 in New York. Is that correct? There we have it. And I'm the chair. So, secretary, would you please take the roll and confirm a quorum?
Okay. Here you go. Synavros.
She hasn't showed
Okay.
up.
Lyndon Foy.
Here.
I think you need to say who's the secretary's name.
Yeah, this is Aki Tanaka. Steve Kukera.
Here.
Thank you. Apple Martin.
Here.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth.
Is present.
Maida Reason.
Is late. She'll be here shortly.
Okay. Jean Sagathan. Now you see your name, yeah?
Here.
Okay, thank you.
Ooh, good.
Judy Hewitt.
I'm here.
Okay, Michael Woodson.
Here.
Okay. Then the others, Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Okay, Susan Young.
Here.
Okay, not here. And then who are people who are attending who's not, let's see, anybody here?
Jan
Yeah.
Goodman, I'm
Okay.
here just as a director
Right.
auditor.
Okay.
And there's
Okay,
Steve
Fred.
K. Is that Steve Kaiser?
Steve
Steve Kukala. Oh, Steve
Kukala.
Kukala.
Yeah, you always got that. Okay.
Now, I had a moment ago the agenda, but I think it's on, and it's on the, yes, okay. We've called the order. It's 8:35. We've done the roll call, the approval of the agenda, and I need to find the agenda again. I've got it open somewhere here. Actually, Aki, do you have the agenda, please?
Yeah, I just see it all. The number four is approval of the minutes for November 11th.
Oh,
Then five is national office budget. Then we have ED report, and then we adjourn because they're postponing the WBI to January.
is there any objection to the agenda as it's written?
I have a something to add.
Okay,
All right.
go ahead.
One. We should finally get the income statement through March 31st approved to be sent out to the world. And two, are we going to have a meeting on December 23rd? If not, I would request that we decide that tonight so we're not guessing later on. That's all. Just add those two things.
Okay. Is there any objection to adding those two?
Hearing none, if they're added. Okay. Approval. Everybody has seen the minutes. Our Paul, do you have any approvals of the minutes that you have to bring to our attention?
I don't have corrections on these.
Great. So let's go immediately to the national office budget. And this is your
Hello.
show, Stephanie.
Yes. Do you want me to pull it up and share the screen, please?
We can do that, or also I have it on my screen as well. Let me see if we can. Never
I can
actually.
share.
Yeah, would you? That'd be great.
Okay, do I need to make it any bigger for anybody or you're fine?
Good for me.
Okay. Hopefully it's pretty simple, self-explanatory. We have obviously fiscal year 23, 24, 25, and then the proposed for 2026 and then notes. We don't really have listeners' support for the national office. I'm not too sure what that was in 2023, but it's just there for comparison. Corporate match, obviously dipped down quite a bit from 5,600 to 2,600. I
May I
don't know.
ask a question on that?
Yes.
Now, Bob is getting all this corporate match out of New York, and that's not going to be a part of our corporate match.
No, corporate match programs are actually when an employee works for an organization and their company matches what their donation is.
Thank you.
So this might not have been coded correctly back in the day, you know, back during that time. I'm really not too sure. But a lot of it is once we get a better grasp of our donors, then sending out, then I can send out information to the companies or to the donor in the thank you that says, you know, do you by chance have a corporate match program? A lot of the stations have actually been emphasizing that in their paperwork that they send out, which has been, you know, or their thank you letters or even online, which has been very helpful. So hopefully what I'll do is, you know, I upped it just a tad this last year. We just made $467. So I will make a concerted effort to reach out to some of those same companies from this past year and also to make a note when I send thank you notes to the donors.
Thank you.
Major donor income. That's anyone that is giving $1,000 or more at one time in a gift. This past year, we received roughly $34,500. Not too sure why there was nothing in fiscal year 24. I have a feeling it was all maybe coded down here under the donation section. I have been working to steward donors, send thank yous, phone calls when gifts come in. So I'm anticipating, being able to raise that up to 85, this upcoming year. In regular donations, that's anything that is less than $1,000, but also I personally consider a major donor an individual. So this is something I want to try to break out as we move forward, looking at budgets throughout the year, which is I'm hoping we're going to do with the committee, is break out that donation line item, even at all the stations to donations, and then break that down to sponsorships / underwriting, and then also grants. So then we can get a better understanding, and then we can get grant reports from the stations, and then also our foundation, you know, grant reports from the stations, and then also from the national office on where that's coming from. So over the years, in fiscal year 23, we had 79,000, roughly 70, so 80,000 in donations. Fiscal year 24, 142,000. Fiscal year 25, 306,000. And then I'm proposing or, you know, guesstimating that for fiscal year 26, we'll raise that up to 398. And our donations to the national office come from individual donors, foundations. We don't have any, we had one sponsorship that came through courtesy of Bob Henley for national programming, and that was for $25,000. Some of the other grants that we had another grant for national programming that was for a training program, but we left that in the affiliates line items because they were the ones that were managing that training program for the affiliate reporters that were going out and doing our national new service programming over the past year. SCA rent income, which has been, you know, fluctuating throughout the years. We are in the process. You can tell it dipped significantly in fiscal year 25, although that we were at 42,000, although we have been invoicing the stations. One of the things that we realized that there were no active contracts with the three stations that we have subcarrier income with. A lot of the contracts expired in 2017, one in 2014. And then during 2020, they were basically told they didn't have to pay any longer. So it's been an effort to try to get them to pay consistently. Thank you to Bob Henley, the interim general manager of WBAI, who did volunteer to reach out to one of the stations that hasn't been paying on a regular basis and work with them about trying to get back into alignment with payments. And so they paid a significant chunk of $25,000 recently to clean up their payments that were in arrears. And we turned around thanks to the work that Bob did and used those funds to help offset and pay the tower rent bill, and they recently paid another $10,000. And so we've been utilizing that because of that work to help offset some of WBAI's bills. We are in the process with our compliance officer and one of our attorneys to work on a better agreement that we can have with the, to get an updated contract with the subcarrier income chance stations. So then we can continue to have that agreement. James?
Hi, Stephanie. Thank you. I was just wondering how we're going to book that. It's, you know, traditionally back at the dawn of time, SCA income was delegated to the national office. Now that's been changing. But so the money, I guess, came, you know, through Bob's effort, but basically to the national office, but then through the national office, it's going to be used for a WBAI expense. How are we going to book that as income and expense to WBAI, or how are we going to do that?
No, because it is technically income that is to the national office. So it is an income and it shows up down here. It's income to the national office. We, of course, are giving shout outs and, you know, kind of a thank you tremendously to Bob for his efforts, but they don't have a line item for rent, for SCA rent income. It can be adjusted on the books if need be as a money in, money out, but it technically is not. There isn't a SCA rent income line for the stations. So for example, on this, it's listed as rent income. And then down here under administrative costs, we have, here under programming costs, we don't have a line item, for example, at the national office for tower rent. So we had to put it as an expense under programming since the tower technically deals with programming. So it's showing up as an expense on the national office line item. But then I have in the notes that it was for WBAI tower rent of $25K, just because otherwise people would ask, you know, why did you spend $25,000 on a programming cost? What's that for? So it's WBAI, you know, again, we're thankful that it was brought in. But there, you know, again, there isn't that line item. So
is that a related follow up, if I may?
Of course.
Yeah. there's been some discussion about changing that thing from the dawn of time where SCA income went straight to the national office, particularly in terms of possibly giving the stations credit for that money and either sending it to the national office or doing something along the lines of possibly, especially for WBAI, who has a big fat zero in their account for essential services, possibly accounting for that as central services payments.
I have a question as well.
And
so do I.
We have, sorry, my lighting is so bad. I don't, looks like I'm so blue. I understand both sides of the argument.
You're doing better than me. I don't.
I mean, I understand it to the extent that that income wouldn't be coming in if that subcarrier channel wasn't part of that, tower. And then there's also, well, Pacifica owns the tower, but yet the tower is being, you know, is part of the expenses for the stations. The work that is done to maintain those as far as anytime there's an issue. So even when the subcarrier, there was only really one subcarrier that wasn't paying. When the subcarrier wasn't paying, isn't even when they weren't paying, we still have to work with them when there's issues. And there are often issues. And those issues are dealt with by the national office. Whether it's, you know, Mo, whether it's John, usually 99% of the time it's John. If there's something that has to be done on the ground, then we'll in turn call the engineer that's at the station, which would be either WBAI or KPFT, who has the subcarrier stations. So it's, there's also then, as you can see, even with the budget, it hurts the national office when central service payments aren't made. And when we have income that is dedicated supposedly, you know, for the national office due to decisions made well before my time, then all it is doing is then again decreasing that it's central service payments. So it ultimately is much, it's a, you know, further discussion, and it still doesn't really take away from the obligation of the stations to pay their central services.
If I'm on the list.
Yeah, but I'm next.
No, I was next.
So, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So, one of those comes to KPFT, and in fact, at KPFT, what might have been credited to KPFT was directed to WBAI. I had, when all of this conversation was happening, I had a long talk with John Amella, and he said that absolutely he's the one who sustains this, has the relationship with the carriers, and it cannot be, he doesn't think it would actually be effectively taken over by anyone at the local stations. Add to that, right now we're getting rent and should be getting central services. If you took away the rent and credited central services, that it for central services, it would essentially be double whamming what everybody owes the national office. The national office has got to be supported. That's where we pay for attorneys. That's where we pay for the accountants. That's where we pay for the financial management. And we are so thin as it is. But John Amella made it very clear that keeping the SCA rent income at the national level is critical to him. And we have this thin technical staff. We need to keep them here and engaged. So I'm opposed to changing the policy of having the subcarrier income be attributable to the stations.
And technically, you were right, Susan, which I didn't, you know, say earlier, is that the $25,000 that came in was for the subcarrier on KPFT's channel or tower, not right. WBAI.
Which is all what I was trying to say when I was pushed aside. So I have nothing further to say. It was KPFT that got the $25,000 in. Thank you, Bob, for asking for it. But the other issue is, it's my understanding that a lot of these subcarriers are not going to stay on the tower, that they are moving to the internet. And that's one of the reasons why our revenues have dropped for subcarrier income. And the long-term prognosis is that this is all going to go away. Just FYI. Okay, R. Paul Martin. And Susan, you and I will both lower our hands.
Okay.
You got it.
All right. First of all, a little history of stuff here. It wasn't always this way. The SCAs were coming in. I remember to fight about this because they degrade your signal a bit. And this was in the 90s. We were having a fight about that particular thing. And the station got the money then. And hold on one second. I'm about to sneeze.
Huh. It's okay, not a sneezing matter, R. Paul. Yes.
Okay. And so... I remember that the Pacifica National Board decreed that the National Office would get all the money from the SCAs in about between 2005 and 2007. There was a big thing there, and they just said, we're taking it. And we said, what? It was a bigger issue at that point in time. I think it's still an issue right now, not as big as it used to be. I will note that the interim general manager of BAI has told us about our chief operator, which at each station you have a chief operator. It's the technical person who makes sure the hamster wheels are running and the transmitter and all that. And he has to handle stuff from the SCA clients. So it isn't handled all nationally. We've got them calling up our guy whom we pay at BAI to handle their issues at Four Times Square with the SCA. So, I mean, this is an issue, and I think it is going to go away anyway. So I'm, you know, I think it shouldn't be this way, but I'm not ready to, you know, light a torch and run through the streets about it because it's obsolete. It's going to go away. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Interruption, please. Aki, could you keep track of time on these so that we don't wander on too long? Steve, you're up next.
Yeah, this is a budget discussion. I can't rationalize this $126,000. The 3-year average for the SCAs is $63,833. And I'm going to reiterate what Fred said. This stuff's going away anyway, I believe sooner rather than later. And, so budgeting triple what we had last year is irrational.
So actually what that's about, Steve, is that they're actually getting billed now. They were not getting billed for years. They're now getting billed. And so it should be, I would suspect, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Stephanie, that this actually indicates what we expect to get them billed for over the course of
correct.
The
day. And we've already received, in just the first month of the fiscal year, $35,000.
Okay. So good. Any more, Steve?
Yeah. If John Amella claims ownership, I think he should claim accountability for not, keeping up with the bills here.
It wasn't his fault. We had a prior director.
I'm not saying fault, but he is accountable for explaining this to people if he has ownership. And thirdly, these aggregate numbers, that's for all SCA income from all stations.
There's only SCA in the notes section. There's Radio Maria, Friends of Radio Maria, and Amigos Radio Maria. There's two of the subcarriers on WBAI's signal and one in Houston.
And if you do the math, that's about $12,000 a month, which comes up to the $126,000 bucks.
Correct. We will, if we see, you know, we have not had agreements with any of the organizations. As I said, some dating back to 2014, 2020, they were told not to pay. We have been billing them. One has consistently been paying. And, as I said, Bob reached out, and volunteered to do that on our behalf since the office was based out of New Jersey, and was able to get in contact with who the people are that are dealing with the money. It was not an easy task, and, you know, I greatly appreciate the work that he did. And now I'm working with the new directors that they have at Radio Maria as we go back and forth with the new agreements with them. If we find out, you know, 3 months down the road, 4 months down the road, that they're moving away, they're not paying anymore, they decide they don't want to be on our signal, then we will adjust the budget accordingly.
Okay, James Egerton.
Thank you, Sherry. Yeah, just real quickly. I'm aware of the history that our poll was discussing. I also wanted to just mention, under the theory that because Pacifica owns the signal, then therefore they should get the revenue. I mean, that would go for everything. And then everything should go to the national office and nothing should go to the station. So that's, you know, that's a nice argument, but it's a little bit flawed in terms of its overall feasibility. And also, you know, if we weren't paying for the tower, which we have a hard enough time doing, there wouldn't be any side carrier bands. So that's another consideration. But the bigger question for me is trying to have a collegial outlook about where income comes and how it's accounted. I can recall the year when WBAI got a $200,000 bequest from someone, And the same person, which was a longtime WBAI listener, gave a $500,000 bequest to the national office. And that was accepted by the national office. And in the same year, we were being abused for not paying our central services with no apparent recognition of the fact that one of our listeners kicked in $500,000 to the national office. Now, I know in terms of the strict ways of accounting, there's currently no way to account for that. I think we would, the best way we could account for it is collegially recognizing, while perhaps SCA income doesn't go to central services and neither does a $500,000 bequest from a WBI listener, we could at least have an understanding that there is revenue coming there and not be so outraged about central services.
I want to move this to point. I want to go on. Jen hasn't spoken yet, and I think Myla's actually here, so let's get Myla on the record as having attended. Is that correct, Jen?
Excuse me, can you see me?
Yeah.
This is Myla.
I know. We just wanted you to say your name so that you're recording.
Hang on just a second. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So let me just say I'm apologizing for being late, and I appreciate Jan Goodman facilitating my attendance at this meeting. And I just wanted to say for the record, yes, Myla Reason, I am in attendance, and I've been here since about 8 minutes after the meeting started, if it started on time, and I've been waiting for an opportunity to let you know that I am in attendance. Thank you so much.
Great.
Thank you.
Point of information, what was the year for the 500K?
I can't recall offhand.
Was it when Stephanie was the ED?
No.
Got it.
I don't recall.
It wasn't.
Can we move the agenda, Stephanie? It's back to you now. I'm going to get a timer on this.
Sure. Hey, Fred?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to go over to the ED report then?
Please. No, she's going back to talking about the national office.
Okay, all right.
So again, what we'll keep an eye on as we move forward throughout the year is the SCA rent income. And then we will also, as we review the budget, this budget moving forward and the other stations as well, we'll give updates or additions in the notes column regarding any major donor that is being stored and their process within the donor pipeline, as well as grant applications that are being submitted. When we go down to central services, we pull that out of the total revenue just so we can get a better picture of it. We pretty lean year in fiscal year 23, with only WPFW paying a partial central service and KPFT has been very consistent with their central services. Then we start to pick up a little bit more in fiscal year 24 with KPFA beginning to pay with the central services and KPFT still continuing a little bit of an issue with WPFW at that point. And then fiscal year 25, we've been receiving consistently payments from KPFA, KPFT, and WPFW. And then in 2026, I still have the consistency of A, T, and W. And then I put in for KPFK and WBAI, but in the notes, I don't have the payment starting until February, going through February to September of 2026. And that's because both of those stations are still, I think, in flux. We are still working on trying to, particularly at KPFK, trying to create a long-term sort of strategic plan. There's an in-person meeting that Jan is hosting actually coming up shortly that we are going to be, a core group of people are going to be meeting volunteers, LSB members, station personnel, programmers to talk about where we see the station going and how we can help propel and get it there. So I don't want to put, these numbers may change the KPFK and the WBAI, because again, I don't want to put pressure on the stations. As important as it is to receive central services, it is never, we have never, since I've been here, forced a station to pay central services if it is a great burden for any sort of bills that they need to pay to continue to keep the station going. That's payroll, health benefits, rent, tower rent, anything that they need to continue to move forward. So although I have in there February through September, if we find when we get to February, that it's still a burden for those stations, I will reduce that as far as projected revenue and move forward. So you can kind of just see, you know, an interesting comparison from 26, 25, 24, and 23, just the, you know, impact of not having it there. But again, those numbers fluctuate. In general expenses, excuse me, the personnel costs have increased from 23 through 26, projected with 26. What you have to take into consideration with the fiscal year 25, which is here, is that because there was a move of KPFK, there was some, you know, again, a station that is kind of in flux somewhat, is that we covered some of the payroll shortfalls that happened during fiscal year 25, and things are over here. As far as personnel, the national office consists of the ED, the national business manager, the compliance director, the chief engineer, an IT manager, which is just 10 hours, I think it's like 10 hours a month. We've absorbed the archives this year, so the archives special projects director, and then we have a legal counsel pay down that's still continuing. I have in there all full time, but the IT manager is not. We share the IT person with KPFK, and he's a board op and work there at KPFK part time, and then we have a couple of other hours that he's doing. As far as fiscal year 25, which is, again, what we just ended, I just broke down money that the national office paid, which is, again, things we do in case there's a shortfall that's coming from the stations. So we covered a KPFK payroll shortfall that was equivalent to about $37,000. And then there was also a health benefit shortfall for WBAI, KPFK, and WPFW. That happened a couple of months in a row, and that was a roughly $120,000. And also kudos to KPFT at one point for giving $50,000 to the national office to help cover additional health benefits. So, and for some of the stations that were also having a shortfall covering their health benefits. So we are paying back KPFT in increments, over the next, you know, I think it's 10, we're paying them $10,000 over the next 5 months. The board expenses, really with the national office are the elections. So you can kind of tell, you know, elections in, elections out, those kind of things. Fiscal year 25, we had a balance due, even though the election ended in that fiscal year, we didn't have the funds until the following fiscal year. So we had to pay off the NES and election balance. We are having an election this upcoming year. So we're anticipating just on average what the costs are. We try to bring down the cost of the election as much as possible. So again, that's just a proposed guesstimation as to how much the cost of the election will be in this upcoming year. In the stations in the past, I think maybe have paid for elections, but we have never asked the stations to give us money to cover those costs of the elections. As far as administrative expenses, again, they were increased, you know, as during this part where the building was moved, because the national office, because the proceeds from the sale of the building, the $500,000+ was in the national office, but then we covered the costs of junk hauling, storage, junk hauling for KPFK and the archives when we were cleaning out the building in Los Angeles. We also had, and these are broken down on the next page, we used that fund, the money to pay off the WBAI phone, the past due phone bill, or the phone bill that was the phone answering service. That was $152,000. And then also another lien that was placed on the building that was $35,000 that was owed to somebody for some legal services. With programming expenses, we, you know, here again, we'll break it down on the other page, is that in fiscal year 25, we paid the past due electric bill for the KPFK tower. I believe that was $37,000. Here also where it shows the fiscal year 26, WBAI, the tower rent, that was $25,000. And the national office is also now paying for the monthly public news service wire. The archives, I mean, the affiliates had been paying for that, but the public news service is a service that all of the stations use. And so it made sense that the national office be paying for that, not the affiliates. With development expenses, again, this increase right here is we had to pay close to $75,000 in past due bills for our donor software. And the only expense that we have coming up here is a membership to a grant database on, you know, that we can get information with the detailed information and wealth management software when asking for grants and family foundations. And that's an annual membership. And we've had it before, and I have the log, the national office has the login, but the other stations, often I'll do Zoom meetings with people in the development departments or volunteers that want to learn how to write a grant or how to do the detailed deep dive on how to select a grant. And we'll do those, we'll write grants together. WBAI has taken advantage of that quite often, and we've probably raised, I think they've raised close to $75,000 or $125,000 just in these joint grants that we've been writing. And then the same thing with the affiliates. Urslo is able to get, as I said earlier, the $25,000, and then KPFK is now starting to get involved in that process as well. So our total operating expenses in this past fiscal year was $1.6 million, and we're anticipating, because we don't have as many of the expenses for the move and past due bills and things like that, 1.3.
Fred? Stephanie, we've got a question from Steve, it looks
okay,
like.
Okay, Steve.
Steve Kalaka?
Yeah, I had that up there a little while ago. The first question kind of got answered. We skipped right over the donation lines and revenue, and I didn't know what it was for. But getting more on point where we're at now, I'm real happy to see in the budget that we've budgeted for the loan repayment for the, and I see audit fees, $165,000. How many years is that for?
Well, we're not quite down. You're on page two. You're advanced. You're ahead of the game.
Well, you
but
know,
I can go ahead and get to that page now.
You speak stuff, so I skip to it.
Stephanie, can we go back to that screen, please?
Yeah.
On our board expenses, it looks like the 24-25 is a total of $86,000. Is that correct for the election?
The board expenses are only for, board expenses are only the election. We don't have, the line is there because there used to be, I believe, in-person board meetings and, so we don't have those anymore. So that line item now is strictly just used for election costs.
So I've got a question. If it was $86,000 for our last election, how did we see $56,000 for this one?
Because we had another election that same year too. And so this is a crossover from the prior election, the other election, and then not paying the election supervisor the final payment until the start of the new fiscal year, which then pushed it into this year.
Thank you.
But the total cost of the election, I believe, was 50. I believe it was 50. It was anywhere between 56 or 58.
Thank you.
So, and one of the things we're doing this year is that we we're working now with the stations getting membership lists now, so we can, we have somebody that, is working very inexpensively. They're helping us doing some other, other work as well, getting those lists, cleaning the lists, working with the development departments so we can get the lists cleaned up and sorted now, and then put that in, compare the lists that we're getting from the stations to the, staff directory that will be for programmers, volunteer staff, and paid staff that Otis has written. And then we can make sure that we have the correct emails, the correct volunteer hours, so we don't have to pay the National Election Supervisor to do that cleanup work. Thank you. Then that will save the costs.
Lyndon and Jan both have their hands up, and I don't know whether it's Jan or Myla. But Lyndon, go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
On the previous page, you had the central services. There were two units that you have February through September of 2026. have those two stations paid anything so far this fiscal year on central services?
No.
Okay, so, but you don't expect them to pay December or January, but you do expect them to pay February through September, right?
That's the goal, yes.
Okay.
If we find that February comes around and it's still a bit of a burden.
Right. So down at the very bottom line, where you had the two yellow lines, so the $239,000 net income, we have two scenarios here. So is correct. The $11,000 negative, this $11,000 loss, is that what you are projecting?
The $11,000 loss would be, as I should have stated this easier, if all of the stations start paying their central services in February and the other two start going on, this is what we'll end up with.
Okay.
If the two stations are still struggling and we don't get a central service payment from them, with current central service payments, which are the three stations, then it will be a loss of $11,000.
Okay.
I am confident that we'll be able to work with the stations, even if we just get a small portion or we get one payment, just something so we can kind of put it up there on the books. So, you know, this is a fluid number and a huge significant change. So if I see in January that they're still going to be struggling, then, you know, I will continue to adjust with our revenue and reach out to some other donors and foundations and things like that. Because again, I don't want to put the stations in a hard place.
Myla, you have a question? And Glennon, that was a great question. Thank you. Myla, you're muted. I don't know what you're waving.
Okay. Yeah, obviously I was muted and trying to unmute. Somebody who is host could rename to Jan and Myla or Myla and Jan, that would be helpful. I have a couple of questions related to the upcoming elections. One of them is, are all of the stations in fact currently keeping accurate records of a volunteer staff?
Hours.
Hold on one second.
Staff hours.
Right. Volunteer staff hours. And the other question is related to the last election. It's my understanding that the election supervisor was paid, may have been paid prior to providing a final report. And I want to make sure that going forward, if that is the case, and I'd like to know if that was the case, going forward, whether we will be sure to make sure that we get that final report and certification of the election results prior to a final payment. And I'd also like to know what the timeline is for deciding on who the election supervisor will be.
We will be doing the deadline to hire a national election supervisor, I believe, is March 15th. So we are planning on posting the position in January. That's what we did last time as well. The payment for the national election supervisor last year was either one lump sum, which was discounted, or paid out throughout the course of the election. We could not afford to do one lump sum, so we ended up paying it out throughout the election. And once she delivered the final report, she actually got her final payment later because we had to wait until we had a certain amount of money for that. The first question, I didn't write it down.
The first question had to do with whether or not your each station.
Oh,
tracking
yes.
Hours for volunteer staff.
Yes, yes. What they are doing is, you know, the stations know the importance of tracking the hours. The stations also understand that many individuals that say they are working on a program, some of the stations have implemented that the people that are working on the program, they need to confirm that they're working. They need to have their name stated in the credits of the program. We are also asking programmers, again, it's just kind of implementing what we can with the stations, that the main producers of the programs provide a list of people that have worked on the program that month. It's safe to assume that due to the amount of time that it needs to put together a program, that person has put in at least, you know, 3 hours. And so we can add up during the, you know, for the hours that they need to work. And again, it only is proof if their names are listed in the credit. The software or the app that Otis has created that we've rolled out on a beta test to at least 38 people right now will have the timesheet, actually, and I've been playing with it on my phone, so it's workable on the phone, that all volunteers will and programmers will put in their name, what station they're working for, if it's a program, what program they're working for. We also have some volunteers that answer phones or they, you know, call people. They'll be put in there as well because that's somebody that we would normally, you know, pay for something like that. And then they can get on their phone and type in that you pull up the month and then you click. It's very easy to do the days that you worked, the number of hours, and then we get that in one central database. So we will, prior to the election, be able to match the lists that were being provided now from the development departments at the stations and the membership departments and the PDs with the software. So we'll have accurate records of people's hours. It'll be rolling out to the general, to our unpaid staff and staff by January, I believe 6th is what Otis had said this morning.
So I produce a radio show that is at least available on KPFK website. I have not been asked as the producer of that show to provide the station with any of the information that you've said producers are required to provide. And in addition, when we have sent in the credits for who has worked on a given show, it doesn't always show up. So that's all very interesting to me. Furthermore, I would like to go on record as a director of asking to be able to review everything that has been documented so far at each of the stations. And then going forward, I look forward to reviewing everything once Otis's system has been put in place. But I would.
Yeah. And as a programmer, you will actually be asked to be a part of Otis's software.
Stephanie, I didn't hear that. Go ahead and speak again.
As a programmer, you will also be asked to be part of the software system, and the programmers have to put their names and their contact information into this system. So I can ask Otis to add you to the beta testing that we're rolling out because we have 80 some odd employees. And I selected all the general managers, the program directors, various news directors, membership department employees, and then just sporadically picked some employees to go through the beta testing. But I can ask Otis to add you to that as well. And then you'll be getting an invitation to be a part of it, and then you can kind of see how it works.
I really want to move this back to finance, which is our responsibility. And Myla, this is a great question for you to ask Stephanie offline. Steve, you had a question about finance.
No. I beg your pardon, Fred. I just have one follow-up.
Is it about finance?
Pardon me?
Is it about finances? About this stuff that we're looking at right now?
It's related to... Fred, you got to stop doing this.
No, I don't have to stop doing this.
You have something else?
Steve, go ahead. You have a finance question?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's perfectly right spot, but I did ask, we have $165,000 for audits. Is that, how many years is that for? And I just want to note that the budget deficit possibility is contingent on this SCA income of $126,000. That's an unrealistic number in the budget. I'm going to reemphasize that. I did the average for 3 years, and you could drop that $60,000 and be more realistic.
It's called an order. Steve,
yes, thank you.
It's already been explained.
It has been explained more than once, Steve.
The audit was?
No, the dollar amount that you're talking about that you're contesting.
SCA.
Well, how many years of audits is $165,000 going to pay?
Well, the audit, I'll go on to the next page.
Thank you.
The 160, the audits average $110,000 for a single year audit. We are looking to do 2 years at a time, and we technically will need to do 3 years during this upcoming fiscal year. So that would include, in fact, the 165 is probably a tad low. We are hoping that by combining the 22-23 that we will be able to get that done for 110 to 116. And then there would be another probably 80 to 90 for the following year. So, and that's just an average. That's not anything different than most, you know, than the size of organization that we have. And one thing to take into consideration is when we are hiring an audit firm, it's not just auditing one set of books. We're auditing 8 separate units of books, 5 stations, national office, affiliates, and archives. All of those are audited and then combined into one final audit. So 165 is probably sadly low.
Can we move on to the next aspect of the budget that you presented?
So the next page is really just a breakdown of what the costs are on a other, you know, basis rather than just the salaried and related expenses that are generic at the top. It breaks it down with how much with the salaries, payroll, taxes, 403B contributions, which is just a few employees that actually have that are been here for a long time. And then the health benefits. What's also included in the notes, is the, any additional costs that we incurred. So in fiscal year 25, we did pay for KPFK payroll shortfall, which is why that is increased a bit. And then also fiscal year 25, we paid for a health benefit shortfall for KPFK, WDAI, and WPFW. So that's why you see that significant increase, even though there has been an increase in our health benefits of about 15%. Then down here, the admin expenses, a lot of the consultants, temps, and contractuals, we have paid for when we're doing, it's a small amount, but with any, what falls into that, is any sort of, like our individuals that are working with us on projects, or we've paid some of the consultants, temps, contracts, and contracts are also, if there's work being done somewhere and a station can't afford to pay for that, whether it is trainings that are being done, you know, it's pretty much an average of what we've got here. If there are contractual people that are helping us, which we have right now with the books and helping with the reconciliation of the bank statements. So I can break this down further so you know exactly what we have, and I can send that out. But that also can, you know, when people think of consultants, they think of a full-time employee, but it's even if we have, you know, plumbing work that needs to be done and the station can't cover that, that would go under a contracted person that's coming in. And again, that may change as we go through. Legal fees, you know, pretty standard. We try to keep them down as much as possible. But sometimes this is a moving target, just kind of depending upon what we're dealing with. So as we review the budgets on a regular basis moving forward, I'm sure this number will increase or may go down.
Jen and Myla have their hands up, and Lyndon has his hand up. Jen and Myla, you're muted. All right. Lyndon, you had a question?
Yes, thank you. I was looking at the interest / bank charges, and you know I've asked questions about that before. And then I saw the loan repayment line, and from my memory, we were only each month we were paying an interest payment for the FJC loan, and we're not paying principal. Is that correct?
Correct.
And is that the 207?
Correct.
So that's all interest for the FJC loan. And so on the 48,000 interest bank charges, those are bank charges?
Correct.
Thank you.
Myla and or Jan, are you ready to talk? Okay, Stephanie, go ahead.
Everything else, again, pretty self-explanatory. The loan repayment, as we just said, is the FJC. Settlement legal, this is where we put in the payment of the WBAI phone bill that was past due, because that was, we were legally obligated to pay that upon the proceeds of the sale of the building, as well as a lien that was placed on the building with some money that someone had given to Pacifica for some legal purposes. One of the things that have been absorbed into the national office are, you know, is the archives. So we have had expenses that were increased, as you can see here, with office expenses and supplies. As we've been cleaning out the archive storage facilities, there were two storage facilities, approximately four units within each site. It's been, we have a daily process of individuals that are cleaning out the storage. And as we empty one of them out, as of yesterday, we were able to, we're really close to getting rid of one of the complete units that we have, not the units, but we have one thing in Van Nuys, one part in West Hollywood or in North Hollywood. And we're in the process of being able to close completely the storage units that we have in Van Nuys. So we're trying to condense what we have and cleaning out. And that cleaning out process has involved interns that are coming in. There we have some contracts there, contractual employees that have been cleaning those out. We have people that have been taking pictures of everything, cataloging everything. So some of these expenses that we haven't had in the past have been because we have absorbed the archives for right now. The same with the computer maintenance and supplies. We had some maintenance that needed to be done on an old Apple computer in order for them to have a computer inside one of the storage facilities, which they've been using as an office to, you know, get things done. So they're minor, but, you know, those are just things that we've had. Oops. Office rent. There is no office rent for the national office, but we have covered the cost of the KPFK's office since they originally moved, and they're paying for it now. But when they originally moved, it was with the anticipation that the building was, you know, we went through that whole sale. It's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. So we covered the cost of the KPFK office rent during that whole period of time, because they moved out earlier than they really technically probably needed to move out, but we were anticipating that the sale of the building was going to happen months earlier than it did. So again, that's a cost that the national office absorbed. Storage rental. The storage that we have, you know, again, now we've absorbed the cost of the archive storage facilities. We paid for the KPFK piano storage and also the moving expense of that storage and moving. This was $22,500. We just upped the storage for another year for $1,400. And then we also have the storage facility that, again, that we have the archive materials in. Other admin outside services, again, the majority of the cost of this was any sort of the junk hauling that was with the clean out of the LA building and then also the continued clean out of the archives storage units. Programming expenses, technically programming, again, we have the archive interns that we have two of those. They rotate throughout the school year. And then we have two part-time staff that are also working with the archives that are helping with the cataloging and the physical clean out. The person that has been managing the project had been a consultant and we've just moved him into a part-time employee. So, that's starting as of December 1st, actually.
Stephanie, can yeah. I ask
a question? We have two people who want to speak.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Can I ask a question about the pianos, the KPFK piano storage?
Mm-hmm.
You said that you're paying for an additional year, and I'm just wondering, do we anticipate at some point in time having a space so that we can have our wonderful piano back in the station?
Yes, I am hoping that KPFK is not in the facility that they're in right now for any length of time. One of the many things that KPFK is facing is an extensive amount of repair that needs to be done on the tower. Maggie is starting a campaign to do that work. We were just writing the ask letters today, actually, for that. And then we also need a moving fund or a moving campaign. So I'm hope, you know, they can't stay in the building where they are. It's too small. We've added some office space that the national office actually is paying for because they only have like three small rooms. We've added a couple of others to there, but I am anticipating that we have to move. They have to move someplace else. So just like WPFW is in that world of where they are for a couple of years, but they right now are already starting to look for where their new home will be. KPFK needs to do the same thing.
Thank you.
Oh, Lyndon, you have a question, sir?
Yes. What is the value of the piano?
The value of the piano is approximately $118,000. It's a very large concert-sized. I'm trying to look up the name of it. Oh. Yeah, it was going kind of back and forth as to, you know, where we can put it. There were some people that had volunteered to have it in their home. but we were concerned about the insurance aspect of putting it somewhere. And then I can't find the name of the
brand. Was it Bosendorf?
I'll keep looking through it in my notes and then I'll see if I can find it. But yeah, we did definitely a lot of research on the piano and whether it was valid, you know, whether it was worth paying to keep it in a storage facility or not. It's also in a piano specific storage facility. It's not just in storage. We wanted to make sure that we found a piano storage site that knows how to store it properly and have it in the humidity and all that kind of thing. We also wanted to make sure that there was discussion at the time that it was a piano that belonged to Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, and that added some, you know, special value to it. We had no proof that that happened. So I did try to follow the trace of the provenance of the piano. And then we also reached out to some Beach Boy experts, a museum that specializes in the Beach Boys former managers, and it did not belong to the Beach Boys. It was not a type of piano that he actually ever played on personally, but it still didn't take away from the value of it.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah. But it is a very, it's a larger than normal size concert piano. It's very large. And it is, the value is up there. Again, the maintenance and the programming supplies, that's cause since we don't have a tower bill line item, that's where we put it. For the KPFK tower electric bill that was passed due, which is $36,000. We put that under the programming expenses. Under maintenance, and then just again with programming is where we put the new service and then the WBAI tower rent. And then down with development, the high cost with this was for the past due that was due for the donor database, and that bill covered the past due that was for the national office for everybody that was using Allegiance. So the only group that had was current with their due, with their bill on Allegiance was KPFT. So the national office paid for the national office past due, WBAI's past due, and KPFK's past due. So those numbers here in the green correspond with those up here. I completely understand and respect the concern with the SCA income. And, you know, that again is a close number that we will keep an eye on as we have these new agreements that they sign, and we'll, you know, all have good contact with them to get at least advance notice if they decide that they no longer want to be a subcarrier station. And then we can adjust accordingly, as is with central services.
So is there any objection to us sending this on to the PNB with a recommendation to approve?
So moved.
Any objections? Hearing no objections, then that will be considered our determination. Stephanie, you've been talking a long time, but perhaps you have an ED report you want to give us.
I did find the information on the piano. If anybody's a piano person, I don't know. I play the piano, so it was of interest to me with the piano. But it's a 1916 Mason and Hamlin Concert Grand, 9 feet 4 inches in length.
Thank you. Steve's got his hand up. Steve, do you wish to speak?
I think I'm working. Kind of an update on the fundraising. WBAI has posted that they started fund drive, both them and KPFK, December 2nd. WBAI is 33% of goal. KPFK is 35% of goal. I get this feeling of Groundhog Day. We keep exploring ways to not pay central services. And when you look at this budget, there's not a dime in there for contingencies. I don't think it's a positive budget. I think it's a deficit budget, but reasonable people could disagree. But what we can't disagree about is the foundation is strapped. There is no extra money, and trying to find ways to not contribute to the national office is not a sustainable idea. I'll speak against it at every opportunity.
Right. But we have approved this to forward this to the PNB, and that's the case. Now, Stephanie, did you want to make an executive report?
I can give fund drive updates. Steve kind of brought it on. The KPFA winter fund drive started today. Their goal is $300,000. We had a staff meeting this morning, and so I don't have any updated numbers as to what they're doing so far. But again, their winter fund drive starts December 9th, goes through the 19th with a goal of $300,000. They have a great thank you gift that they have, which is a KPFA calendar. It's very fun looking, so by all means, make your donation and get a calendar. KPFT actually is not having an official end of year fund drive because they've had some extremely successful fund drives throughout the year. Their fall fund drive was October 28th through November 9th. Their goal was $175,000 and they raised close to $220,000. What they're doing instead of an official end of year fund drive is that they've been focusing on end of year retirement fund distributions, and they're doing PSAs and announcements. And as of today, the general manager there said that has been extremely successful. KPFK started their winter fund drive December 2nd. It goes through the 19th. Their goal is $120,000. As of last Thursday, they raised $23,612. And I think Maggie was saying this morning that they've brought in at least another, I think it was close to $20,000 to $30,000. So they're right now at around $40,000. WPFW, their fund drive doesn't start until December 14th, and that runs from the 14th to the 20th. They have a goal of $95,000. They did participate in Giving Tuesday, advertised via PSAs and various email blasts, and they raised $14,000 in Giving Tuesday. WBAI is doing their winter fund drive. It started December 2nd. It runs through the 31st. Their goal is $150,000. It was kicked off also on Giving Tuesday. Last week, when I had talked about it prior, as of the 4th, just two days into the drive, they raised $23,938. Bob told me last night that they had a single day of $10,000 that was raised, which was great. And I believe right now they are close to about roughly 43 to 45,000. So, you know, if you can, please support your stations. Support the other stations. I know that I told the stations, anybody that sends me a Giving Tuesday on Giving Tuesday, any email that I got from a station that said they were doing Giving Tuesday, I donated $100 to them. So, I only had two stations that actually sent me Giving Tuesdays, and that was WPFW and, KPFT. But, I personally donate to all the other stations. So.
I just donated to WBAI 2 days ago. Markeisha is now on. Are we expecting to hear from her?
Unless there's any other questions that people had. I know she's been strapped with some final tax work that we're needing to do within the next week. And it's been very overwhelming. So.
Good. And I see James Sagerton's hand up. James, you have something to say?
Yes. First of all, thank you, Fred, for making a donation. That's appreciated. And when I last looked at the website, and I think we had a discussion about it last night at the WBI LSB meeting, it was up to 48,000, of which 12,000 was union donations.
I guess I made the difference. Any other questions?
You did.
I hope you gave that much, Fred.
Yes. You know, it's kind of interesting to do though. And when I give, it doesn't necessarily, it's a nice way to see how the whole donation process works. How does the website work? How do the links work? You know, I had some confusion when I was donating to WPFW and I was able to figure it out. I was doing it on my phone, but then I talked to Otis the next day and I said, oh, I donated. And he said, well, how did the donate page work? And I said, well, I had a couple of problems with this and that. Within seconds, he fixed it. So it's kind of a nice way to do your part by donating to each of the stations and also at the same time getting a better inside understanding of how the donate pages work. Do you get a thank you note? How quick do you get that thank you note? Do you get a tax letter at the end of the year? It's kind of a nice way, and that's why I do it as well, not just to support Pacifica, but also to get a better understanding of where the stations might need some assistance from the national office as far as stewardship and donation out and donor outreach.
R. Paul, your hand is up. Would you have something to say?
Yeah, I got an email from the interim general manager of WBAI, and in it he says that we've raised $53,000 in 1 week. So
wonderful.
It's 53 at this point, apparently, as of this
afternoon. Life is good.
Yes, it's great. A lot of the stations have a little thermometer at the top of the, or a bar that's on the top of the websites that's kind of, you know, that you can follow along as to how close they are to their goal.
So do we have anything else, or are we going to listen to a motion to adjourn?
Oh, hold on.
December 23.
Oh.
Yes.
I really am not interested in being on December 23. I really.
Make a motion.
I move we do not meet December 23.
Second.
Pilot seconds.
Are there any objections to this motion? Hearing no objections, we won't meet on the 23rd, but we will meet in January to deal with WBAI, and I'm really looking forward to great news at a WBAI.
I got
Stephanie, before we go.
I had a thing we put on the agenda also to release the
Epstein files.
The income. I don't think we're involved with that, I hope. To release the income statement through March 31st. Just make it, you know, so we can release it, because it's bottled up here.
I don't really even know what you're saying about that.
To release it. We have to release these things. We have to agree one way or another to release them. Because
the income statement? For the entire network, what Stephanie just gave us, or what?
No. You want me to read the whole?
It's been quite a while, I think.
Yeah, it's been months and months. It's been up there, and we keep saying, "Yeah, we should do that." No, we don't do it. So we should do it. It's old info by now, but we should put it out.
Can I ask if there are any objections to releasing the income statement?
Releasing what? Would you repeat, please?
That's exactly what. There's some income statement that we were supposed to have released months ago that we didn't release.
These are the profit and loss statements, right?
Consolidated financials for all the units.
Yes. The monthly, Yes, through March 31st.
Just through
no,
just 7 months
ago. That's the latest we got.
And release them where?
To the public.
To the LSPs.
To the LSPs. Is there any objection to releasing these? Hearing no objections, so moved.
Wonderful.
Any Fred, other questions, issues?
One quick question, Fred.
Yes, Steph.
James.
I know. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Stephanie, it's been a problem for years that people have been talking about, especially when it comes to election time, and people find out, oh, they're not a member when they thought they were, when they try to vote. Is there any work being done? Is there any way? What can you tell us about a system to remind people that their membership is up and it's time to renew their membership?
Call the pledge drive.
Yeah, I mean, we had a very lengthy discussion today in our staff meeting about this. It is, yeah, KPFT does have such a system, Julie wrote. It's how best they use their donor management system. If garbage in, garbage out, I've said that many times before, but, you know, for example, there's information that Markeisha has requested from our accountants that are the number of donors in the last three fiscal years, broken down by fiscal year, that have given a total of, and donors can be individuals, foundations, sponsorships, underwriters, whatever that may be, $5,000 or more during that year. How much money was brought in during revenue and expenses for events, meaning in-person events. And when she put out the request, it was very imperative that we get this information in a timely manner. And a lot of the stations were at a complete loss. The station that turned it in literally within a half an hour from when Markeisha made the request on Saturday was KPFT, because they use their donor software to the fullest. And I get regular notifications from KPFT when my card has expired or when it's time for me to renew, or they say, you've given this much, can you give a little bit more? All of the donor software also has a report that's called a Libant or a Sibant, and it's LYB, whatever the letters are, but it's Libant, and it stands for last year, but not this. And this is just a generic term across all nonprofits. And then Sibant is some year, but not this. And you literally can run their pre pre-put into donor software systems a Libant report, and it will give you a list of all donors who donated last year, but not this year. And it can be run by date. It could be run by fiscal year. And then you could automatically reach out to those donors and say, hey, you gave last year, but not this year. Do you want to give again? And those are reports that should be run on a regular basis by the membership departments. I know WPFW is doing a great job recently making phone calls. KPFT also makes phone calls. I've gotten calls from people on the board not knowing that they were calling me, and then I just let them go ahead and give their spiel, so I can hear it. So that is, there is a way for that to be done, but it has to be done at the station level, and they are well aware that they have to reach out to those donors. It's just a matter of whether the staff is actively doing that. But from what I see so far, there are stations that are actively reaching out to lapsed donors.
So every one of the people on this call and on this board should be going to their stations and saying this needs to be done at my station. Correct. I see Myla has her hand up.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I know that you, Fred, our chair, made a notice that Markeisha has been in attendance, but it's customary, I believe, for individuals in attendance to actually open their mic and state their name. And so I'd like to hear Markeisha state her name, and also director from KPFK, Harvey Wasserman, has also been present for part of this call.
I haven't seen him.
People can see you, and Harvey, just so if you say...
Oh, there's Harvey.
Hi, Harvey.
Also, in attendance, state your name.
Sandy Wasserman here. How are you doing? Otherwise known as Harvey.
Okay, and now Markeisha. Markeisha
Benzant Sampson here. I'm sorry I was late. Just
no, you're all good.
No. We love you.
You're all good.
Thank you.
You're all good. You got covered well by Stephanie. So
thank you.
Can I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Is any objection?
None whatsoever.
Hey, however you celebrate, I hope you have a hell of a good time, and I'll see you all next year.
I will be 80 years old on New Year's Eve, so go out and get drunk.
Are you really? Are you a New Year's Eve?
I'll be 79.
I'm caught up to my IQ.
I'm going to be 79 January 1. I'm nibbling at your heels.
Wow, nipping at your heels, and I'll be 75 in January 27.
Merry Isaac Newton's birthday, everyone.
Watch out, apples. Here comes Isaac.
We've got a load of old geezers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
And good night, nurse.